book, and you have to believe it whether you like it or not. And it says here that the Lord is going to destroy the earth by a flood. Now, we'll take a poll. Did he or didn't he?
Not again.
Not again.
But he did.
He did.
Okay, do we agree with Luella? He already did?
Yeah.
Okay. What was it like? Secondly, it says he is going to destroy the earth by what means?
Fire.
Okay. Now, if he did what he said the first time, isn't it, if he's consistent, he will do what he says the second time. And so it says here that when the day of the Lord comes, first of all, the day of the Lord means the time when Jesus comes. It's going to come without an invitation or a proclamation or an announcement on CBS. It's just going to be like a what? A thief in the night. Have any of you ever been burglarized?
Yeah.
Okay, did the thief say, hey, I want to come tonight at 3 a.m.? No. When did he come? When you weren't expecting him, and when he wanted to come. So the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And when he comes, the heavens will disappear with this shrill noise. The heavenly bodies burn up, will be destroyed. Earth, with everything in it, will vanish. Now, with this in mind, that is why John can write, I saw the new heaven and the new earth. The new heaven and the new earth came as a result of the old being all torn up, destroyed, and put aside, put away with. That's why we got the new. The only way to have the new is to get rid of the old. And so he looks for a new heaven, and he looks for a new earth. What is new did not exist before. In other words, what's going to become is not now in existence. Now, he is keeping in store for us something that's brand new, and it's just going to happen when he wants to, but it's going to be all brand new. And if Peter, for example, had any knowledge of these events and had believed that they would occur, it's remarkable that he would not have mentioned other events like we read in other portions of the scripture. And by that I mean, he says nothing about Jesus reigning on the earth for 1,000 years with the saints, which many people believe. If he believed this, why would he overlook this completely? All he says is, Jesus is going to come, there's going to be a judgment, and this, you know, a brand new earth prepared for the people. There are other passages in the New Testament which make an allusion to the affairs of the world being closed and a lot of different things happening, but here it seems like he is saying that it's just going to happen. Like, for example, we're expecting the Lord now, so he couldn't come. But if we weren't expecting him tonight when we're watching television or when we're in bed, then I believe that there is nothing that has to happen that has not already happened. I believe that the day of the Lord can come tonight. And when he comes, then that's the period, that's the end, and then there will be the judgment, there will be the destruction, and then there will be the new for us to inhabit. He will create something that's new. If a new world was literally created out of nothing after the world was destroyed by the flood, and a new world came into being, so a new world can come into being after the world as we know it is destroyed. Let me read to you a paragraph that was written by a man who wrote about 100 years ago, who was a Presbyterian pastor, and who got up every morning at 4 o'clock and did his writing. He had a sit-down desk and he had a stand-up desk so that he could do his writing before he had to be at the church to perform his duties. And he says, if an inhabitant of the earth should dwell after death on any other of the worlds now existing, it would be to him a new abode, and everything would appear new. Let him, for instance, be removed to the planet Saturn with its wonderful ring and its 7 moons, And the whole aspect of the heavens and of the world on which he would then dwell would be new to him. So just as food for thought, when the earth is changed into a new earth, we might visit that earth, we'll come back to that in a moment, or you may go to something new like the planet Saturn or someplace else, because it would be a new earth, it would be a new heaven for you. Now, hold on to your seats here. No one can prove or disprove that when this world is renovated, that it would be a place where the redeemed will come and live. But if you stop and think about it, how many redeemed people have there been? Or will there be before the end of the world?
Well, now that's just what I was studying about. Now, if there's only seven saved the flood, there's going to be a mighty few of us.
Well, I know you and me are on there.
It'd have to be a bigger place than Earth.
Are you reading my notes or something?
No.
Okay.
If everybody for all these thousands of years, Christians died and are waiting to, if it's on Earth, we're going to really be crowded.
Okay. Well, how can we quickly go to something else? Remember the verse of Scripture that we didn't read, which you can't remember? It says, I saw the new heaven and a new earth. Now, the first heaven and the first earth disappeared. And there was no more sea. The sea vanished.
Oh, well, that would make it a lot bigger.
Okay. What does the sea do today? It keeps people apart. It is a barrier. It's a boundary line. It's only good for those who live in the sea. And so,
I guess we could get along without
kids. Well, we might have to do away with a lot of things that we're used to.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's not impossible to think that the earth is not big enough for the innumerable millions of people who have believed in Jesus. Before the time of Jesus, there were people who were saved. And think of the billions of people through all the centuries that were God-fearing. Abraham, Isaac, Moses, etc. And so since the time of Jesus, there have been billions too come and gone. There is somebody who dies every second. So we've been here 44 minutes. Times 60 is how many people have died. Well, it all blows our mind, to coin an expression from Mr. Sorge, and it's hard to comprehend, but this we do know, that some of the mansions which have been prepared for us may not be on the planet Earth. It may be, that is the Earth, a place where we would be visiting from time to time. Maybe, just maybe, the new heaven and the new Earth does not refer to the present Earth at all. Maybe it refers to the whole solar system, because it would be new to you. I've never been to Saturn. It would be new to us. On the other hand, there is no certain evidence that anything that we now see is completely annihilated. What does fire do? It burns, but it does what? Well, yeah.
What does fire do?
Yeah, that may not be the way I should have asked the question. Things change their nature. Fire changes the nature of something, but does not necessarily destroy it completely. It's just changed from what we have seen it. It's changed into something else.
To ash.
Okay. So it could well be, I lost my train of thought now. Do what? Help me, Nancy. Okay. Okay, she wants me to go on. I thought that was interesting. I won't even read that thing. I do feel that no matter where the new heaven and the new earth is, and this is before we even get to the New Jerusalem that's coming down, that it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. And it's going to be a place that we are going to visit. And I think of no place that I would want to visit more than the planet Earth, because it's on this earth that Jesus came. It was on this earth that Jesus died and was resurrected. And there is Gethsemane, and these things have an interest to me and to you. Therefore, if it is possible that the new heavens and the new earth to which we go may not be this earth as we know it completely, it is a place that we could visit if we wanted to. He says that we are going to have the new heaven and the new earth, and he says that there will be no sea. Well, I guess not. What's under the earth right now? Fire. Boiling. You know, we are walking like on an eggshell. The crust of the earth is not very thick. Well, it's not very thick. And under, and when the fire's got to vent itself, what do we have? Trudy? Up where you're away. You know, the Mount St. Helens. Okay? That's the fire that's under the earth that's coming out. So, you know, if God is controlling the earth like he is, at any time God could say, hey, this is it. The earth's going to be destroyed by fire. And so all you got to do is have a few volcanoes in a few places to go, and it all, and then St. Andreas Fault, and then the whole earth is destroyed, like the Bible says, by fire. So it is coming. The other side of the coin is that the earth will be destroyed not by the fire under the earth, but it will be destroyed by what? Some of you have given some thought to it. If not from the fire under the earth, like the sun blows up. I was thinking of a nuclear explosion. You know, enough of these going off could trigger everything else, and so the earth could go up. Yes, it would be. Main thing is we know it's going to be destroyed. And after it's destroyed, there will be no sea. And this struck John very forcibly, that he did not see this sea. For in the present state of things, the oceans are necessary to make us live. You know, the seasons, the water that comes and goes around in cycles, the fish and what have you. But it's going to be unnecessary when we get to the new heaven and the new earth, because we're not going to need the water that is sort of a wasteland right now. New heaven, new earth, the first passed away, no more sea. And then verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then if you'll turn to verse 16, and the city lies four square, the length is as large as the breadth. He that measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now you go back to the visual aid, you see the little square, except it's not a square, it's a cube. The holy city coming down out of heaven, which many people feel is symbolic. If you lived in the new city, how many people could live in the new city? That was, 15? What did we figure last time? 1,500 miles high and wide. Okay. You know, how many people could live in a place like that? Well, I don't think all the people who have experienced the new birth could live in the city that was just this size. So I feel that as the book of Revelation is a book that speaks in picture form, speaks symbolically, that the New Jerusalem is spoken of here as a symbol. But the idea is vast, the idea is a capacity, and this is the main idea that he's trying to represent. The image before the mind is that the numbers of the redeemed are going to be immense, and the city is going to be immense too. He measured it, and it was so big. Now, on the picture, you can see one of the things that will be in the city. That is the river that's coming down from the throne. He speaks of the city having the gates and the material of the wall, which we've looked at before. The idea is that there's just a room. There's a lot of room. And God is wanting people to go to this holy city. Suppose we stop right here and let you ask some questions or make some comments or a contribution as to what we've looked at so far, or maybe something that we haven't discussed. Anyone?
When you were talking about there being new heaven and new earth, I've always pictured going to heaven, not leaving this earth, you know. Mm-hmm. And you think that it will be a new earth that we'll be on?
It will be definitely either a new earth as somewhere in the solar system, or it will be a refurbished earth that we are on now that has been made completely new by the fire that has come. Or as Nancy mentions, it may be something that we've never thought of. You see, when John had this revelation, he had to write down what he saw in terms of what he was aware of, and he had to use human language to write about spiritual things. And you know, when you stop and think about it, that's very difficult to do. How would you describe a sunset to a blind man? How would you describe a beautiful sunset to a man who has never, ever seen? How would you even start? There'd be no point of reference. Okay, he has a vision here, and he's told us what's going to happen, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot greater than we can even think about. But we have to believe some things. Like he said, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Anyone else?
You mean it will be like a new heaven and new earth? It will be like we are today. We're on earth and there's a heaven. It will be like, it won't be us, but we'll be a whole new people to be like we are today, study the Word of Jesus.
Well, I mean, how will we be on this new earth?
Yeah.
Well, this is sort of a new subject, but we will be... Nancy, tell us how we're going to be in this.
Spirit.
Right. You know, what we live in now disappears. Dust to dust, ash to the ash. And so the real you, you've heard me say many times before, lives with God. But the Bible says that when this happens, don't get worried that you're going to be naked. Because it says that when the body tent is torn down, then the soul will not be naked, because God has prepared for us the change. He's given us the guarantee of the Holy Spirit in what is in store for us. And it says here, He will clothe us with a new house. So we'll get a new house.
In other words, that's a new body.
A new body, a new tent. Praise God, I won't look like I looked. I'll be entirely different. But you're going to know me. You'll know me.
You don't think what?
You'll be known as you are known here.
That's what I said. You will know me. You will know me. I will not look like this. but you will know me. Because if this body that I'm living in is in heaven, it's going to be imperfect right away. And heaven is a place of perfection. So this old tent's not going to get there. Your tent's not going to get there either. Okay, God's going to give us a new tent, which will not be like this tent at all. But you will know the people that you see, but it won't make much difference because you won't care. The main thing is that you're there with Jesus, you know. You were there with Jesus. So, to go back to your question, when you get back on the new earth, wherever this new earth is, you will have a new kind of a body, and you will be existing.
Not like we are today. I mean, we will be existing with Jesus.
You'll be existing with Jesus,
and
right.
It won't be the earth like it is today. It'll be a new earth, but it won't be like it is today with us just worshiping Him, but not seeing Him.
Yeah, right. There'll be no work.
All right. Oh, that would be marvelous.
You'll make all things new. Of course, that's debatable, too, about the work. But we will be praising God. We'll be praising God. We're going to get into more of this study of what heaven's going to be like later. But first, we've got to get rid of the earth and get the new Jerusalem here. Any other questions you have you'd like to ask? Or maybe you think it's a dumb question, but probably somebody else is thinking it already. So say it, and that'll help us out.
More.
Okay.
When we die now, we don't go, our soul doesn't go straight to heaven. Is that right?
That's right, because as I see
we
it.
We go to Gehenna, is that right? Is that what you said about that? I said, I've never heard of it before.
Did I see that?
He said, or to Hades, and I said, I thought Hades was hell.
Our soul don't go back to God.
Yes, it sort of does. Let me just explain. Do what?
Don't we go to a waiting place?
A waiting place?
No, that's what I called it, a waiting place.
There are different views, but let me just tell you the way I feel. I believe that when you die, you go into the presence of God, but that is not heaven as such. Not heaven like it's going to be, but with God, you got to call it heaven. So it's a semantics. We go into the presence of God. And the Bible tells stories like Abraham, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. He was aware of what happened on earth. We're going to study this too one of these Wednesday nights. And there a person is in the waiting room, if you want to call it that way. I can't improve upon that.
You're with the Lord.
But you're with the Lord. And then at the time of when at the day of the Lord, as we read tonight, when the Lord comes, like a thief, there is a judgment, there is a resurrection, the judgment, and then there's the entrance into the new heaven and the new earth. Is that okay with you, Luella?
Yes, but now I want to know if we have been born again.
Okay, if you have not been born again, when you die, then you go to a very hot place. But you don't go to hell as it's going to be, but you go to a place like the rich man went to, which he was in torment, and he asked if he just could have a drop of water to drop on his tongue. And that was a pretty bad place to be in. But I don't feel that is the place where they are going to end up in. It's going to be much worse. Just like the saved people go to a place that's really nice, we can call it the heaven, it's not the heaven as such, so the unsaved person goes to a place of torment, but not as it's going to be.
Now that's hard to tell somebody.
That's why Jesus came, and He's told us to tell. And many people don't believe it. But when you die, the disposition of your soul is fixed, I believe. If you die saved or die lost, then that's it. As long as the physical breath is over with, then the way the soul is final. Any other question or comment? Phyllis?
I may have missed out, but where does the rapture and the thousand-year reign fit into all of this?
Okay. It fits in with difficulty. Okay. There are a lot of people who've got it all lined up, and there's scripture to support it, because you can prove anything you want to with the scripture, that there's going to be a rapture, and then people are going to be left on the earth. And, you know, I can't disbelieve that at all. It could well be true. And to answer your question, it comes before this day of the Lord. But the point I made earlier was, why didn't Peter say that? Why didn't Peter make any mention of these things, like the rapture and the millennium and things like that? He said nothing. And yet he was told what was going to happen. It just was going to be at the day of the Lord. So we must know that there are people who do believe this, and it could well be true. And if it happens, it'll come before, quote, this day of the Lord. There are some people who interpret the sequence of things that way. And for those who do, they would say, yes, you know, there's going to be a literal rule of Jesus on this earth for 1,000 years. I really have problems with that, with Jesus in Jerusalem.
On this earth,
ruling for 1,000 years. And it could well be true. Because a lot of people believe it.
What purpose would that be for? I mean,
well,
would it be like he would be here to try to save everyone?
People would be saved, but the thing is Satan would, the Bible talks about Satan being bound for X number of years, 1,000. And during that time, it's very peaceful because Satan's not around to bother anyone. He's chained in an abyss. There's a whole sequence of events that we can look at sometime. But back to the New Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. Any question before we dismiss?
About the new city, is it going to be one level? Or will it be several stories? Or, you know what I mean?
Okay, the question is, in the new city, will there just be one level, or will there be a lot of stories?
High rise.
Well, the Bible does not specifically state how it's going to be. It just said that he saw the city that was so many, you know, so high and so wide. It was a cube, in other words. He doesn't say. It could be. It really could be. Yeah, there are just so many scriptures that we can look at that tell us different things. And some seem to contradict one another, too. And since we know the Bible does not, that means that we are limited in our knowledge. Right. Yeah. But to conclude, we know these basic things. There is God. God is love. God has wrath because he loves. And he will destroy the earth someday. Now, what happens before that time and what happens after that time, we really don't know for sure. What we do know is we better be ready for the day of the Lord when he comes to take us wherever he's going to take us, to be with him forever and ever, world without end. Let's pray tonight.